All right. If you guys can you turn to Luke chapter 18? We're going to pick it up in verse 1. Hopefully your bulletins actually say chapter 18, not chapter 8. Give you guys a few moments there. So last week we talked about forgiveness, faith, and forever. 18:1. We're going to be going through 1 through 8 today. So last week we were talking about how we have to forgive, we have to have faith in God, and how that leads into us having forever. The coming of the kingdom, we were talking a little about that. But today's message is pray, pray, pray. That is one thing that you cannot get around in the Bible. The Bible never says for us not to pray. It always tells us to pray. When we look at stories like David, he was always falling to the ground, praying before God. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, all the prophets, they had conversations with God. They were talking with him continuously. Adam, he didn't really have to worry about praying so much for the most of his life because God was right there. He actually got to walk and talk with God. But today, we're not going to so much hit on how we are to pray, but how we are to be continuously praying. So, Luke chapter 18, verse 1, it says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to illustrate their need for constant prayer and to show them that they must never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who was a godless man with great contempt for everyone. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, appealing for justice against someone who had harmed her. The judge ignored her for a while, but eventually she wore him out. I fear nothing, neither God nor man, he said to himself, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this evil judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think that God will surely give you justice to his chosen people who plead with him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when I, the Son of Man, return, how many will I find who have faith? Okay, so we're going to rewind back a little bit in case you guys missed my study on how to pray. We're just going to briefly hit on it just real quick. We know that Jesus, when he gave the Lord's Prayer, what we call to be the Lord's Prayer, all he said at the very beginning, he didn't say, repeat these words. He said, pray in this manner. We are not to regurgitate some prayer or some poem or some saying that we've heard our entire life. We are to pray in that manner. Give God glory. Give us what we need for today. Strengthen us. Allow us to forgive others as you have forgiven me. And then giving glory again to him. Because he deserves all the honor, glory, and everything that we have to give. And then in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Don't have to turn there. I will real quick. Once again, my kids took my little bookmarks out. So it says, and now about prayer. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners or in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I assure you, that is all the reward they will get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father secretly. Then your Father, who knows all secrets, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think that their prayers are answered only by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, because your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. And then he goes into the Lord's Prayer. So, if you've noticed one thing about me, I don't pray long. I don't see the point in praying long. Because like he said right there, God already knows what you're needing. Just make your request known. Don't try to impress God with your high vocabulary. Because trust me, His is so much better. Don't try to impress Him by how long you can go, by the longevity of your prayer. But just make your request known. Now, Jesus in Luke chapter 18 is adding to that. He's saying, yes, make your request known, but keep making your requests known. Doesn't mean that while you're sitting in one prayer, you're constantly praying the same thing over and over and over again. No. When you go to God in prayer, lift it up. But when you lift it up, you also have to be listening for the answer. Which means that sometimes we have to remain silent. How many of you guys have ever prayed, why is this not turning off? Sorry, I'm dying up here. How many of you guys have ever prayed, and then after you're done praying, you just sit in silence, waiting for an answer? Most of us don't. I would say I've probably done it maybe a handful of times. But most of the time, I'm done with my prayer, and I'm on my way. I'm like, okay, thanks, God. It was good having a one-sided conversation with you. But we are to remain silent at times. Now, God can speak to us throughout the day, and that's usually how He speaks to me. But there are times where I just don't seem to be getting an answer from God. I don't seem to be getting any sort of sign or recognition or anything from God to where I'm like, what am I to do next? And so then I just have to sit in silence. Now, I've heard of stories of people that said that they pray to God and they even told God, I will remain here in silence until you speak. I don't have the patience. God knows I don't have the patience. I could sit in silence for maybe 2 minutes, but it feels like it might as well be like 6 hours. How many of you guys have ever sat at a red light and thought that red light is taking forever? Me, every single time. Now, I've actually timed it one time. At one light, there's on the corner of Grand and Halcyon in Rio Grande. It seems like that's the longest light in the world. I've actually timed it, and it only took 90 seconds. But it felt like I was sitting there for like 10 minutes, waiting for that light to turn green. And that is how sometimes we can be with God, is we get so impatient, we're so ready to move forward, that we can't sit in silence. And so when we pray, if it is something that we are needing an answer on, repeat it in prayer. Not in the same prayer, not in the same time, but throughout the day. God, help me, reveal it to me, show me. Most of the time, He's already tried revealing it to you. He's already tried telling you. He's already tried showing it to you. But we are so dense, and we get so caught up into our own life that we don't see the answer, even if it's right in front of us. It's pretty crazy how we function. Because remember, there's always three answers that God will give to any prayer. Yes, no, and wait. Because right now might not be the time. And so He wants us to be patient. And so then, yes, we do continue to pray. Paul tells us to earnestly ask for gifts of the Holy Spirit. He wouldn't say earnestly ask if He doesn't want you to continuously pray about gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I've shared a little bit with you guys about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we will get more into it as time starts coming up and we start talking more about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's what I get most excited about. I love the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I love hearing words of knowledge, people speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. I love how the Holy Spirit can move through people. And what gets me most excited is the fact that God would actually use people like all of us to do His will. I would not choose us to do my will. Many times, whenever we try to teach somebody to do something, we get so frustrated that we're like, you know what, I'll just do it myself. Forget it. You don't know what you're doing. I'm so glad God's not that way with us. That God is very patient, very understanding, and is always wanting to work with us. And because of God's patience, He teaches us to be patient. There are many pastors that will say, there's one thing you should never ask God for, and that's patience. Because He will send people your way that would require you to have patience. And if you have kids, and I have four of them, you have to learn to be patient. Because each one's different. Each one drives you crazy in a different way. I wouldn't trade it for anything. But patience is one thing I say that we need to pray for. We live in a day, an age that it's known as a microwave age. We want it, and we want it now. The fact that you can throw just about anything in a microwave and it's done in a few minutes, whereas you throw it in an oven, it takes hours. It could. I'm not saying go throw a whole turkey in a microwave. I'm not saying that at all. But we need to slow down at times. We need to be waiting on God. When we pray, seek an answer. When we talk to God, listen for the response. How many of you guys like having one-sided conversations with people? None of us do. Do you think God likes having one-sided conversation, us leaving our little voicemails for Him? No. God wants to talk to us. We can see that throughout the whole Old Testament. Like I said, these people were all the prophets, David, Adam, Abraham, they all spoke with God. God wants to have communication with us. He didn't put us on this earth for us to just do what we want and live life on our own. But instead, He gave us Jesus Christ to come in the form of man to have that union and that bond with us. He died on the cross for our sins, for our iniquities, so that we can have that connection once again to Him. It would be amazing to be Moses, to go up on the mountain. As God is coming, He has to put His hand in front of Moses because His glory would destroy Moses. And then as Moses is coming off the mountain, he's glowing. I'm not talking about like how people say when they look at usually a pregnant woman, they're saying that she glows. No, I think Moses was literally glowing. How amazing would that be? To be able to go on a mountaintop retreat with God, listen to Him, listen to His commandments come straight from Him. See Him carve it into a rock right in front of you. Imagine being like some of the prophets where God told them to do some pretty crazy things and they did it and they got to see it come to be. The judges, all that they did. David, he had a life of one miracle after another after another after another. when he was just a kid, he killed Goliath. He was anointed to be the king of Israel while there was still king in office. He was successful in every single battle that he did. But he was also a man that fell continuously. He was a man of his flesh. But yet when he was found out, he would fall on his face and ask for forgiveness. He understood the importance of that conversation with God. He understood why he had to pray. And so we need to understand that we have to be continuously praying to God. Paul, in 1 Thessalonians, helps if I can not pass it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, it says, "Always be joyful, keep on praying. No matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." So we just had Thanksgiving. How many of us are continuously thankful for what God has given us? Or how is it that some of us, maybe most of us, it's kind of like pulling teeth when you have to say what you're thankful for? My sister, whenever we go up to her house, she has us all go around saying what we're thankful for. And mind you, there's like 40 of us there. And she even had my two-year-old say what she's thankful for. And all she ever says is, "Mommy, Daddy, Judah, Becca." She just mentions all of us, which is cute. But I remember when my sister Heather first started doing that, it was kind of like pulling teeth for us. We're like, really? We have to do this? And for some people, it took a little bit of time to figure out what they're thankful for. And as the years have been going on, it's been getting a little bit easier. And then we started adding rules. Well, you can't repeat anything else anybody else said. So you had to actually think of something that was personal to you that you have to be thankful for. And that's what Paul is telling us here, is that we need to always be thankful. We need to always be knowing what we're thankful for, constantly praying. Because this is what God's will is for us in our life, is to always be joyful. Joyful doesn't always mean that you're happy. Okay, we've gone over that. I'm not going to go into the whole study about joy and happiness. We need to be joyful. We need to be praying. And we need to be thankful. Now, why do we need to be thankful? We need to be thankful because of what He has done on the cross for us. We need to be joyful because He conquered death on our behalf. That every little trial and tribulation, every little thing that comes up that may be hard for us, is nothing to God. And we need to be lifting it up to Him in prayer, giving it over to Him. So then in verses 19, it says, Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Keep away from every kind of evil. Okay? So test everything that is said. That's kind of my favorite thing I like to tell people about my studies. Test what I'm saying based upon the Bible. Test it based upon the Holy Spirit. Because you never know, I might someday lose my mind and start teaching heresy. But if I throw enough scripture in it, pretty much everybody would believe it. That's how we have so many groups out there that just twist and manipulate the Word of God. That's why we need to be constantly in prayer with God, so that we can hear the Holy Spirit when He talks to us. Because He will give us discernment over certain things. He will let us know if what we're hearing is true or a lie. And like I shared with you guys before, is that in order to know a lie, you must first know the truth. Because we all have gone to school. And one thing that they like to put on us in science is the theory of evolution. They say the theory of evolution is fact, but what's the very first word? Theory. Theory is not fact. Theory is one is a bunch of people's speculation. But yet they deceive so many people into believing that that's how everything came to be. And so if you don't know the truth, if you don't know the Word of God, if you haven't experienced who God is, then yeah, you'll believe the lie. And you'll take it in as fact. Now, they can't ever prove evolution to the extent of what they're doing. Yes, I do believe that people have evolved. Not in the sense of what they're talking about, where we came from apes. But people themselves, we adapt to our environments. We adapt to the world around us. As much as they like to say that we are the only mammals that will make our environment adapt to us, we oftentimes do adapt to our environment. There's a reason why there's so many different races and colors of the human species. A lot of it has to do with where they are. Now, I've seen a Hispanic guy that is darker than Reina. If you don't know who Reina is, she's right there. Darker than her. Go to the Ukraine, where there was no sun for months at a time. Come back whiter than me. Huh? Yeah. But we adjust. Our body adapts. We live longer than we did a few hundred years ago. And so the truth, if we know the truth, we can discern the lie. And with us praying to God and constantly talking to Him and listening, that's the key thing. Remember, when you pray, you have to listen. Is that when we listen, we hear the truth from God. And then we can discern the lie. Because the Holy Spirit is constantly guiding us and directing us and leading us. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is discernment. Okay? Now, they have a different type of discernment than the rest of us might get. Okay? They have a more, I guess, better way of putting it, they have a more enhanced version. But yeah, if we're all listening to the Holy Spirit, we will have a form of discernment. Just like if we are listening and trusting and obeying the Holy Spirit, then we all have faith. But there's a gift of faith. There's all these different gifts that are more enhanced versions of what everybody already has. Because you might get a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom about somebody. Doesn't mean you have the gift of wisdom. It doesn't mean you have the gift of knowledge. But the Holy Spirit is flowing through you. I don't want to go too far into the gifts. But just understand that God wants to lead us and for us to be fully mature. He wants us to be able to stand up against Satan. But He longs for us to talk to Him and have a conversation with Him. Like it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. We all need prayer. There are times where individual people will need more prayer because they're going through a harder time. But Paul is telling us, look, always be in prayer for every Christian everywhere. We, as a church, aren't persecuted that much. I've shared with you guys before that it will come to a point where our nation, as great as it is, will start persecuting the church. But we're not being persecuted nearly as hard as some other countries. To where just stating that you're a Christian could get you killed. No trial. Nothing. Some countries, they'll kill you right there on the spot. And just leave you. And so we need to be praying for our brothers and sisters that are over there, fighting the good fight. Yes, pray for our soldiers, our U.S. soldiers, but also pray for the soldiers of Christ that are in these countries that they're being killed every single day. But what's great is because of the power of prayer, because people continuously praying for missionaries in other countries, there is one country where Christianity is rising the fastest. And it was actually a shock to me to find out that it was in China that thousands upon thousands of people are coming to Christ every single day. A communistic country to where Christianity is illegal, you're not killed for it, but it's illegal, is having a revival. That in the Middle East, Muslims are coming to Christ continuously. It all goes through the power of prayer. It all goes because people are constantly praying for these people. Pray for our enemies. You're having a hard time with somebody, pray for them. Remember the whole thing about forgiveness last week? Don't hold on to the grudge. Let it go. Once again, I have that song stuck in my head now. Just give it up to God. It's not going to be easy. And that's one of those things that we're going to have to constantly be praying about. God, take away my anger. Let me love them. It's not easy. And I'm not saying that as soon as you pray that prayer, oh, yay, let's just hug it out. That's not going to be the case. There's going to be times where you see them and you just want to punch them in the face. You're just like, God, give me the strength not to. But through our constant prayer, if you go back in Ephesians chapter 6, just a few verses before where we were, everything that we have to fight against Satan comes to us through prayer. It comes to us through having that communication and that connection to God. The quickest way, you know, how many of you have seen the movie Elf? Okay, that's like my favorite Christmas movie ever. I love that movie. What's the quickest way to spread Christmas cheer? Sing loud for all to hear, right? I think actually the quickest way to have Christmas cheer is to pray. We want to be joyful. We want to be cheerful. And especially going into this season, I love this season. Mind you, last week I was asking Allison if I could play Christmas carols here. She said no. It's still a little too early. Mind you, 2 weeks ago she decorated my house for Christmas. I'm usually very adamant, no, Thanksgiving. You have to wait till at least Thanksgiving to decorate. But like this morning I got here and I'm like, ooh, I could turn on Pandora, turn on Christmas music. Yes. I love walking in a church and just hearing Christmas music. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I don't hear it all year long, but I love Christmas music. I love being able to just go in, and I'm talking about actual godly Christmas music, not worldly Christmas music. I'm talking about ones where they're praising God, to where they're declaring joyfully his entrance into the world. Huh? No Christmas music? Like Joy to the World, Away in the Manger, Silent Night. The list goes on and on. But then you have other ones like, and mind you, I did listen to it this morning, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Where if you listen to that song, then they start talking about the toys and the windows and the trees and everything else. And it's like, oh, okay. I'm not going to choose that one for worship. But I love that. Because it shows our victory over Satan. Because remember, he was born to what? Die. And so through our prayer, we could put on the full armor of God and fight against the devil. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, it says, use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil, so that after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the sturdy helmet of truth. Remember, what's the truth? The Word of God. Foundation. The truth. So you can discern the lie. And the body armor of God's righteousness. Whose righteousness? God's righteousness. The only way that we could be made right with God is by going to God through the blood of Christ. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news. What's the good news? The gospel. Because the gospel is what causes the church to move forward. It allows us to actually take ground. Because you have to understand that through the gospel, the good news is what? Jesus born, lived, died, lives again. Who hates that? Satan. So it's the good news. It's what causes Satan to backpedal. So that you will be fully prepared in every battle, you'll need faith as your shield. You have to actually trust God, and what the truth is actually going to be the truth. That it's actually going to protect you, that you're actually going to be able to have a foundation on it. That as you're moving forward, you're going to continuously be able to move forward through the good news. You have to trust every single thing. And the only way that we can get more faith is by having that communication with God, knowing who God is deeper. The only way you can know through who God is deeper is by constantly praying. Let me ask you this. How does a relationship grow? Come on, I've been saying it this whole study. Communication? Talking. Having a conversation. That's all prayer is. It's having a conversation with each other. If you don't have a conversation, what happens to the relationship? It goes away. Communication is key to any relationship. With God, with people, with children, whatever it is, communication is key. So, moving forward, faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So, the truth, we put on the very first thing, right? Putting on the belt of truth, which we know is God, which we can find out the truth through His manual that He gave us. And what's great about it is so many things return us back to the Word of God. The truth. The good news. And then the very last thing is the helmet of salvation, or the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Because you have to understand, you can use the Bible. God didn't give you this manual for your life for you to read and go, that's nice. But I'm going to do this. It's like every time I've ever had to work on a car, and I had this one car that it's like I changed out everything on, and it still has issues. The only thing I haven't done is change out the engine. But it's not my problem anymore. I wasn't going to say that. Is every single time that I've ever had to change anything, for some reason this car doesn't have like a manual that you can buy. There is no chillin' book on it. There's no book. So I always have to go online, YouTube, Google, anything I can. If I skipped one step, I'm either breaking a bolt or not being able to get a bolt off. It's pretty crazy how each step, they tell you how to get certain things off. There's this one bolt, as I was trying to take out one of the sensors, it's right behind the passenger side wheel, right behind the passenger front wheel. Then you have to take off this big old bolt in the very middle. And I couldn't get it because the rotors, everything kept spinning. I'm like, how do I get this stupid thing off? And then I finally went back, looked, and they actually gave me the solution to it within the thing I was reading. And they're like, okay, well, you put your socket in or your ratchet in there, and you wedge it, and then crank the engine over. Let the engine do all the work for you. Mind you, my dad brought over his air ratchet. He brought over all these different things for me to try to do, and I couldn't get it. And then I finally read it, and I'm like, oh. I could have saved myself probably 2 hours of time if I actually read through step by step on how to do this. And that's us. When we read the Word of God, we have to read it from in its completion. Don't try to skip. Don't go, oh yeah, that's great. So that's how I handle it. And then you go and you miss the whole middle section. You're like, wait, why did that not turn out right? How many of you guys bake? What happens if you don't follow all the directions? Burn it, doesn't rise. Something happens. Tim knows. He actually makes bread for a living. He has a coworker he's always telling me about that doesn't do anything right. Probably because he's not following the directions. Dough doesn't rise. It, whatever happens, he can go over and over with it, what goes on. So, the Word of God is the one thing that Paul, in the armor of God, keeps telling us to go back to. Why? Because that's the foundation of anything. We can't skip throughout the Bible and go, oh, hey, there we go. I got the solution now. Now, I've told this story to you guys before. I love telling it. It's like this guy, he opened up the Bible, put his finger down, and this is how he read the Bible. He's like, okay, well, I'll just open it, and wherever God wants it to land, it'll land, and I'll put my finger down, and it'll say, it will do, or I'll do whatever it says. So he opens it up and puts his finger down, and the verse that he puts his finger down, and it says that Judas went and hung himself. He's all, okay, that's weird. So then he flips it again, puts his finger down, and he lands on a verse that says, go and do likewise. Does that sound like sound doctrine? I think that's just stupidity. That's not reading the Bible the way that God meant it to be read. He gave us a manual for life for us to follow it. Every single problem you go through in life is here. Yes, this book was written thousands of years ago, but still current to today. Yes, we have more technology. We have all these different things that go on. But everybody's problems is always the same. Because people don't learn from the past, and so they are what? Huh? Repeat. You're doomed to repeat it. If you don't learn from your past, you're doomed to repeat it. And we don't learn from our past. We don't look at what the Israelites went through. We don't look at what the apostles did. And if you want to see the apostles in like kind of their human form, read the book of Acts. You'll see many times where they failed. Or they're put in their spot. Or Peter, once again, stuck his foot in his mouth when he shouldn't have. But the one thing that always brought them together, and Paul hits it on almost every single one of his letters, is pray, pray, pray. Be on your knees all the time. And so this morning, or this week, I want to encourage you guys, if you're not praying on a regular basis, start. That's a lot easier said than done. Like me, I don't pray for a long time. If I try, I fall asleep. I'm sorry. That's just me. So my prayers are very short, very abrupt, very to the point. God, give me strength for today. Allow me not to hate people. That is a true prayer for me. Allow me not to get angry. Allow me not to lose my cool with my kids. There are so many different things that stem off of anger that are in my prayers. And just know if you're annoying me and I'm remaining silent, it's probably because I'm praying for me not to beat you. You know? But my prayers are short and sweet, unlike my sermons, is that I don't have the patience for long prayers. And God tells us not to be repetitive in our prayers. And so this morning, or like I said, this week, if you're not praying on a regular basis, start short. Thank God. Remember, the Lord's Prayer, don't regurgitate it. Don't just repeat it, but use it. He said, pray in this manner. How many of you know the Lord's Prayer off the top of your head? And I'm not talking about the King James Version. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. No, not talking about that version. I'm talking about real words. And so it says, our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our food for today and forgive us our sins just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. And do not let us be yield to temptation, but deliver us from the evil. Don't regurgitate it. Go to God and say, God, thank you, fill in the blank. God, help me, fill in the blank. God, protect me, fill in the blank. Amen. Once again, don't regurgitate that. Don't just repeat that. But that's how simple it has to be. Thank Him. Make your request known. End it. How many of you guys text? How many of you guys text long, drawn-out messages that on your phone it says like 2 of 5, it says 5, 10. There's one person that would text me constantly, and on my phone it breaks it up because of how their phone was. The longest I ever got from them, it said 15. I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't have time to read a novel. And some phones, it kind of jumbles it all up. So then you're trying to decipher what they're really trying to say. I don't like reading long texts. Get to the point. I don't have patience, as you can see. That's one of the things I pray for all the time. But same thing with God. Make it known to Him. Say what you need to say. Finish it. But here's the key part. Listen for the answer. However long you want to listen, let that be between you and God. But if you're not praying regularly, start short. Work your way up. If you want to be one of those 15, 20-minute prayer people, more power to you. Just don't become repetitive in your prayers. If you have that much to lift up to God, lift it up to God. But the biggest thing is He wants just to hear from you. Not just when everything is going to hell, but when everything's good. He wants to constantly have that connection with you. He wants that union with you. The only way that we can have that is through prayer. And that's why, remember that this next week. Pray, pray, pray. And pray some more. And I'll be asking you guys next week, How's your prayer life? Because what's great about the very end of Luke, these next few chapters, is we're coming up to the end of Luke. I'm going to try to get done with Luke by the end of the year. Probably not going to happen. But I'm going to try. Is a lot of it stems off of him praying or telling his disciples to pray. So you're going to see a theme as we're going into this season about prayer. Because I don't think we pray enough. Because if we did, we'd see changes. And with that, let us pray. God, we just praise you for this morning. We just ask that you anoint us. Allow us just to humble ourselves before you. Allow us just to lift up our requests to you. And allow us to listen for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a good week. See you next week.